Do you guys like who watches the Olympics?
I do enjoy a sport, clearly.
I mean, I watched all the skateboarding ones, but like none of them found the secret tape. Most of them couldn't even spell skate, so.
Oh.
Yeah, nobody unlocked Spider-Man, nobody unlocked Darth Maul. It was fucking boring.
What's your favorite Olympic sport?
The mud wrestling.
My favorite Olympic sport is nobody in Tokyo really wanting this to happen anymore, but
that's a group sport.
Yeah, it is. Everyone loses.
This may appear to be only monkey business, but in reality, it's very serious, ladies.
Zero Issues Comic Podcast. Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Excelsior!
Hello, welcome to episode 301.
Dalmatians. The show's just about Dalmatians now. It's a Dalmatians fan cast called 301.
Yeah.
Dalmatians.
Just dogs.
Because there's three of us.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And one Dalmatian.
Imagine having that many dogs, like just the insanity that would happen.
Well, I mean, like after you get 100, I mean, 300 is basically the same thing. Anything over 100 is, it may as well be infinite dogs and infinite dog food bowls.
I gotta tell you, two can be a handful. So, 301, you just have to accept your new life.
The amount of cleanup duty in the backyard, good God.
Oh, it's horrendous. Just poo. The entire backyard, it's just a mountain of poo. And it will grow ever higher until you can just hop off of the mountain of poo right into space. And you will.
301 Dalmatians in space! Space, space.
And I hope this new format doesn't awaken anything in you, the listener. Oh. Too
Craig.
Specific. Too specific.
Anyways, we haven't done this in a bit. I'm Merc.
I don't want to say my name now, but I'm Bri.
And I'm Kyle, who made Bri go second.
And this is some news.
Current Zero News Flash.
I guess the big bit in the news today, or in the past 2 days or so, Scarlett Johansson has sued Disney for Black Widow being released in the theaters and on Disney Plus simultaneously. It is in breach of contract with her contract that she has for with Disney for that particular film. And I guess how it works is the contract is this is going to go straight to the theaters.
Yeah.
Partly what she makes is based on that going into theaters and hitting certain numbers.
Box office. And the minute I saw her name as an executive producer in the credits when I was watching it.
Yeah.
Streaming. When I was watching it streaming. sorry, Scarlett. Not really. You're rich. Not the point. But the minute I saw that, I'm like, oh, so that's definitely why I got delayed this long. And lo and behold.
And I guess with that, with their decision, because they did kind of go back and forth of what they were going to do, whether it was going to hit theaters or Disney Plus or combination and whatever, I guess they had attempted to renegotiate, like her team attempted to renegotiate that contract in March or something when it was seemed like it was heading that way. They're like, look, like the contract is not set up to do this. You're in breach of contract. Let's renegotiate it. And Disney apparently didn't even really reply. Was like just skirted the issue. They were non-responsive. So really, yes, she probably has a lot of money already. But it
not the point though. It's
not
contract.
The point.
It's the contract.
Yeah, but it does drive it home when you say like with this, she is out an estimated $50 million.
Whoa. Oh, no.
That's a lot of dough.
I mean,
that's a lot of dough, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That is, and again, it's just, to Disney responded. So when it came out that she was suing, Disney released a statement or you know, had a response basically calling her
mean.
Her claims, they called them sad and distressing, and they accused her of showing callous disregard for the effects of the COVID-19 crisis, which
I think they announced that at Disney World while it was open.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Good Lord. But I mean, like, you don't see that often where they're gonna like really just like take that big of a shot at specifically again, let's be real, like one of the bigger stars in the world.
Yeah.
You know, they're really going scorched earth with that, and I mean that didn't go over well. It's kind of ridiculous to like to make those statements about somebody when it's literally just like suing over what they were promised in their contract.
Yeah. You have a contract, it's in writing, this is what you do, you broke the contract. Done. Like, that's how it goes.
I believe she confirmed since then that she will definitely not be appearing as Black Widow again. Go figure.
Well, yeah. Like, her contract is over after the 9 films, and that's it. Like, she's done with Marvel films. Kevin Feige did not officially respond with anything. It's not really his purview. It's not like he's not the contract guy or anything, but...
It's just reports, you know, reports.
It's been reported that he was quite upset and ashamed that is how it went, and when it kind of popped up, he was like, why can't we just fix this? And Disney did not fix it, and now there's that.
And I'm reminded a bit of the James Gunn situation where, you know, reportedly he was horrified about the situation and was like desperately trying to get them to like change their mind on this, and they wouldn't. So I get that the actors, I mean, there's new characters coming in and out and you can always swap them out, but it's like one person is kind of the architect of like this stuff in a big way, and it seems like you're pissing him off a lot, which doesn't seem smart. But what do I know? I'm not Disney.
To keep on track with MCU stuff, there's also a date that's been announced for Hawkeye the series, which has like obviously Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye and Kate Bishop, who is played by Haley Steinfeld.
Right.
That is November 24th is the official release date for that. It was kind of back and forth of like they didn't know if it was coming before the Eternals or after the Eternals or how that was falling. Although What If comes out like August 11th. So that's pretty soon. So yeah, that comes out November 21st. So yeah, like Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, Echo is going to be in it as a character played by Alequa Fox from Black Widow. Yelena Belova, she's in this as well, which I think I heard it, but not knowing the character until you see Black Widow. And then you're like, oh, that's who, okay, that's what's going on with that.
Right.
And the rumor mill going around right now is that Vincent D'Onofrio is going to appear as Kingpin from
his
Daredevil days. Yeah. Ooh. Which I would be like, yes, thank you very much.
There are persistent rumors that nobody is disputing, it seems. So, I mean, like, if that's the case, I'm very, very happy because why in God's name would anyone else be in that role after that performance? Come on.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Absolutely.
And if you're going to use a character like the Kingpin, Hawkeye and Hawkeye are kind of the perfect street level characters to exactly. go up against them.
Yep.
I just hope that Kingpin had better be going up against some tracksuit Draculas, frankly.
Yeah.
There we
go. That's right, bro. On?
Bro. Anansi Boys, it was announced, is coming to Amazon as a 6-episode limited series. So Anansi Boys, based on the Neil Gaiman novel, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
So Neil Gaiman is writing, along with Sir Lenny Henry. So they've announced that Mr. Anansi has been cast, and he's going to be played by Delroy Lindo.
Yeah.
Which is very cool.
That's good casting.
It's very cool. It's sort of weird, but like you see it's like it's cast and it's just like it's not going to be because I'm pretty sure Orlando Jones like nuked that bridge.
But you know what? That show ended anyway, so.
Exactly. And it's not, you know, that's
the weird thing is like Neil Gaiman and his TV exploits and movie exploits can be so hit and miss, and then they go for a little bit, and like I enjoyed parts of I was a big American Gods fan, like for the book, and then the first season is amazing.
Oh yeah,
really just seemed to go a little down, and then the third one I didn't even finish.
Yeah, it's not
like,
good.
I I'm not even enjoying this at all. Like, I don't even know what's going on.
That watching that third season, again, there's still stuff that I enjoyed in it, but it felt like very much like it was just, here's who's left. And that's like the cast. It felt like there was like nobody in the show. It felt like it was such a big show before, and it felt like literally there was like five people. Everyone else had just like, they'd hemorrhaged so many cast members, and it just felt so small, and it was such a sad whimper of an ending for that show, which is really sad, but Orlando Jones was right. That's all we can say. As well, there's some casting for the Ahsoka series coming to Disney Plus, I guess. So it was rumored, and then I guess Rosario Dawson posted on Instagram confirming it, that they've cast Mina Massoud as Ezra Bridger, and Lars Mikkelsen, brother of Mads, as I do believe, as Thrawn, as like Admiral Thrawn. So these are characters that haven't been done in live action before, or have been done in animation and other stuff.
Especially Thrawn. Thrawn's been a thing for 20 years, 30 years maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like a big character in the books, finally canonized, and now finally live action. Like, that's pretty cool.
And I feel like you do a character live action, there's going to be so much oomph behind that, right? I mean, that's going to be a big deal. And like Lars Mikkelsen, like, fantastic. It's going to be, I'm pretty excited about that.
And just what they've been doing with like The Mandalorian, and just how they set up that universe, and just continuing that with Ahsoka, like, it just
a new way
to do Star Wars that I think is actually probably better than just continuing official Star Wars movies kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
And they did leave off like with Rebels and everything, and like the animated shows, like she was trying to find Ezra with sort of how they left her character. And so the fact that like it's literally going to be a direct sequel to the animated shows in live action, that's super cool.
It would be very cool to be a kid who had actually like grown up watching Clone Wars and Rebels. Like, that would be good for them is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Instead of an adult middle-aged man. Still fun.
Welcome to the warm-up.
Okay, we are doing, spoiler alert, but obviously an Olympic kind of themed episode. What we have for a warm-up was a topic suggestion from a friend of the show, Jay Boas, who is...
Hey, Jay!
Hey, Jay Boas!
Yo,
he is,
Nope, that's
you
not
can
them.
Check. You should check him out on Instagram. He does a lot of action figure toy photography. It's Jay Boatography, so J-B-O-tography. Very cool stuff. I talk about toys with him all the time, and we might be terrible influences on each other. So you should check out his toy photography, and he can be bad influence on you too. Buy some toys.
It is pretty fun. It is pretty fun. But I do have a beef with him that he made a comment that if I die, he would take my place. If I die terribly or something, he would take my place. To that, I say fuck you.
It's all about that Odin build-a-figure, really, is the thing.
What if you die peacefully?
Oh, exactly. Wants to get his hands on it.
What if I die?
There's no, there's no suspicion of foul play, because that's how we do it.
Because it's poison. Yeah, exactly. Look, if you want me off the podcast, just say so.
We do a comic book podcast. Merc will reveal to have been alive the whole time and plotting his revenge, and then that'll be episode 400. We get big spectacular, double-sized episode. Anyway, so he suggested Butler Olympics, which is what it says on the tin. It's butlers competing in a series of events.
Okay, who are our butlers?
Mr. Alfred Pennyworth, of course. Mr. Edwin Jarvis, of the Avengers. Lurch from the Addams Family.
Lurch, all right.
Duckworth from DuckTales.
Duckworth.
I'm surprised you don't have Joffrey from Fresh Prince or Mr. Butlertron from Clone High, but okay.
Okay. Jeffrey from Fresh Prince was the next one. I forgot about Mr. Butlertron, so guess what? Now he's on there. We're going to have to go real fast. The first event is the Super Clean and Press. In this competition, Batman, as an example, has come back from a hard night. He went to a soiree and then took to the night as Batman. So you have to clean any blood stains, repair any like cuts, Catwoman claws after a rooftop encounter, who knows, out of his bat suit, get it pristine for his next night patrol. As well, you got to clean and press his tux. He might have got some wine thrown in his face from any number of eligible women.
A saucy
women.
Interaction.
Oh, dear Lord, yes. You don't throw wine. That's going to stain everything.
Exactly. So Bruce has decided to take a seat in his bat computer chair and have himself a nice little micro sleep, which could last anywhere from 1 minute to, I don't know, half an hour. Hard to say.
7 minutes.
Yeah. So they gotta get all of this done in time before he wakes up. And who do you think would get done first? It's sort of like a bake-off show where they're all doing it at the same time and you just gotta get done first.
I mean, for something like this, I don't think you're gonna beat Alfred, honestly. I think he's got the most experience.
It's gonna be an Alfred or a Jarvis thing, really.
Yeah, Mr. Butlertron can't. He's a mess.
Yeah, he's not gonna be much help. Duckworth is like he's sometimes a ghost, so I don't think he's gonna really be able to be corporeal to lift things. Lurch, zero chance. And like Jeffrey,
no, not gonna happen.
Jeffrey, I don't think Jeffrey really like. He didn't seem to work all that hard. Frankly, he was mostly just like sassing off. And
I mean, that's what butlers actually do. They're just sass machines, yeah. And they don't work for nobody but you.
So what are we thinking here? I think an Alfred is the champion. I mean, he trained his whole life for this.
I think Alfred.
Yeah.
Fair.
I think it's a natural, since it's Batman.
So next, we have what is really just a cooking show competition. The Avengers and or the Justice League, whatever the super team is, they've just vanquished a cosmic threat. They are starving. So they are the Quinjet or whatever their vehicle is coming back to headquarters. They're going to be here in an hour. There's a wide variety of team. You have to prepare an elaborate meal that's going to please every single member of that team. So who do you think has the cooking chops to satisfy an entire team of heroes?
I think that's a Mr. Jarvis one.
Yeah, I agree. Alfred is, he's good at cooking for one.
Yeah.
You know, opening up a can of Chef Boyardee, Chef Lonely Hearts, soup for one. Yeah.
That food never gets eaten, so you know he's probably just like literally just reheating the same thing the entire week. He doesn't need to work that
he's
hard.
Using prop food.
Yeah, yeah.
Like in a McDonald's commercial. There's glue on it, and it's cold.
Well, you know, Batman's just going to be having like protein shakes and things like that.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
High protein, high carb sort of stuff.
Jarvis is cooking food for Thor.
You never know who's going to show up.
That's
and all
right.
of a sudden, like, there's like the West Coast Avengers are here, and oh, we have to throw something together for Beast and Wonder Man. And, you know, everybody's got very particular tastes, and Jarvis is all over it.
Hercules is there, and he's paleo this week, but, like, who fucking knows next week?
Yeah.
Rick Jones is constantly there stealing food from the fridge, so he's got to contend with that at the same time. And he always pulls it off. So, I mean, you know.
And he's also, like, he's going into the cloakroom and going through people's stuff trying to get just pickpocket money out of stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because it's Rick.
Lurch, you shouldn't eat anything Lurch prepares, for sure. Duckworth probably does a fine job, but nothing exceptional. Mr. Butlertron, no way in hell.
No, nope.
Jeffrey,
I mean, like, usually, most of the time you see anyone cooking, it'll be like, you know, Phil's mom or something's in town or something like that. It's not going to be,
yeah.
I've noticed him doing that much cooking, to be honest with you. So, I mean, that seems pretty fair.
Yeah, they got a lot of takeout in Bel Air.
Unless you're tossing somebody out the door. I don't know if Jeffrey's going to have much of a chance.
True.
And even then, that's right. Uncle Phil.
Yeah,
that's true. What did he do? He just gets paid and he gets to,
the door.
He gets to give these rich people a bunch of shit all day and just get paid for that. So that's great. He's doing good.
That's
he doesn't
nice
need
job.
To win a medal. He already has the greatest prize of all. Event number three, which I'm calling Master Bruce's Bedtime.
I don't know if I want to hear this.
So you need to tell, so it's bedtime, you need to tell a story or an anecdote or a profound statement or something that really settles the nerves of a very cranky 40-year-old Bruce Wayne so he can get a good night's sleep, so he can do his best. Again, Alfred would seem to have the advantage here, but let's, you know, I think we need a...
I'm leaning Lurch for this one.
Really? I was going to say, whatever Lurch says, you're just going to see Bruce like holding the sheets up and just staring at the ceiling for the rest of the night. Like,
that's how Bruce Wayne likes to sleep. Terrifying.
With his eyes open. Yeah. That's
hanging upside down like a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can get behind that, actually. Though he might be like in bed and then Lurch comes in to talk. He's like, Solomon Grundy. No, I think, you know, Lurch is a spooky guy, and Bruce
I think Lurch would try to tell him a nice story, but what he thinks is a nice story is a terrifying story, and that's what Bruce really wants deep down.
That is what he wants.
Yep.
Good point.
Because that's who he is.
You're right, Lurch takes it. Event number four, the final event. Who makes a nice cup of tea?
Jeffrey. Here's what Jeffrey can do.
Yeah.
Because he's British.
Yeah.
You're right, he is British.
It's true.
He probably makes a damn right fine cup of tea.
Well, there you know, he was a very, and again, they all are. Obviously, they all are very, like, cultured, refined gentlemen. But Jeffrey, I feel like, would take that very seriously. Nothing much else, but he'd take that very seriously. So, all four of these gentlemen get gold medals, I guess, in their respective competitions. The only ones who completely got washed out here, Duckworth and Mr. Butlertron. Who have to clean up the stadium.
Ghost and a robot.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to do a very good job, actually. They're not good butlers.
No. Get the butlers that don't do much to do the most work. Sounds good.
What the f***?
Thank you again, Jay Boas, and we are moving on.
Moving on to... to the non-Butler Olympics. No Butlers allowed in these Olympics. Get out. That's what I say. If you're a Butler. If you're a superhero, welcome. Welcome to your Olympics, the Superhero Olympics. The 2020
the real
Superhero Olympics. Yes.
Yes, it's 2020.
So I think how we're doing this, if you're familiar at all with how we do like March Madness, where we...
It's completely different. No.
There's a bit of a similar where we're going to have, we're going to pick certain events, whether they're amazing events, bizarre events, Olympic events that don't actually happen anymore. And then we're each going to pick a character and then we'll have a quick discussion about who would win that event.
Okay.
So who wants to pick the first event?
I want to go first. For the very first event, it is going to be the Olympic classic, the hot dog eating contest.
I wrote that down too.
you wrote it down too.
I did. I was wrote it down just a minute ago. Like, that'd be a funny one as a joke, and he already had it. Oh, we're in sync.
We're each going to submit one of the people that we've chosen to enter this contest. I am going to submit D-Man.
Ooh.
Wearing the brown and different shade of brown colors.
I am submitting Foggy Nelson.
Ooh. I'm really struggling between Jughead or Mattery or Lad. Jughead or Mattery or Lad. Jughead. I gotta go with
Jughead. Did you actually have them on a list or did you just think of it now?
Yes!
Oh, you bastard. All right.
It's a big list, but yeah, I'm going with Jughead. With Jug.
My list was the Marvel Universe Encyclopedia and DC Who's Who.
My list was Internet.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that it's a contest, but not really, because it's Jughead.
It's true. I think that's, I mean, he was on my list for this one inevitability, so.
Oh, I see. I see how it works.
Yeah, you have to have a ringer.
I think D-Man might have a heart issue as he's...
Oh yeah, he may temporarily die in the middle of this and need to be revived. Yep. Someone give him mouth to mouth. No, there's still most of a hot dog in there.
He's just got a wiener hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, no, we don't want to touch that.
He needs some sort of hot dog vacuum to be able to suck the hot dog out of his mouth, or he could die.
See. Foggy, I feel like, would do pretty well, but I feel like he probably was eating a bag of chips on the way to the competition, and that sort of...
Yeah, he gets full, is the thing.
Yeah, he does.
It's not about Jughead. Speed, like, he wants to actually taste it.
Yeah, exactly. He's a foodie. Jughead just is a black hole.
Jughead is actually dipping them in water like you see the competitors do to soften the bun.
Yeah,
they're just sliding down.
Hands down, that's Jughead is a gold.
Yes, yes.
So who takes silver, Foggy or D-Man?
I think someone else does because D-Man has a heart attack and Foggy has to resuscitate him.
Yeah, Foggy's a responsible guy, I think, so.
But then there's a dispute because when he resuscitated him, he actually ate one of his hot dogs. So he's like, did that hot dog count?
You know, the Olympics are nothing without a scandal, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Every Olympics has a scandal, and this one's hot dog gate.
So they actually both get disqualified because they were exchanging hot dogs. And there's Jughead takes gold, silver, and bronze.
Yeah. And then asks, are you gonna eat the rest of those hot dogs? That half the hot dog you pulled out of D-Man's throat, you gonna eat that?
God.
Next, I'm going to go with rhythmic gymnastics.
That's the one where they're dancing across the floor, really.
They're doing gymnastics.
All right.
Rhythmically.
All right.
Rhythmically. I am choosing Beast. Because I want to see a big blue hairy guy just really going for it on that dance floor.
Yeah, because he would.
Choose Beast. He would. Absolutely he would.
I'm gonna go with Tin of the Metal Men.
Oh, that's cool.
I am gonna go with Plastic Man.
Oh, dip.
Because it's gonna get wild in here.
I feel like you have much better tin.
But just think of the noise on the mat. It would be kind of gross. Just a...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Rubbery slap noise. Just, yeah.
Well, you see, okay, but the thing is, they do often deduct points for bouncing off the mat. And who's bouncier than Plastic Man? Bouncing Boy, obviously. But who else is bouncier than Plastic Man?
I almost put Bouncing Boy on my list. he might lose a point or two.
But he's got so much flair, I think, that otherwise that maybe that would make up for it, right?
He's the only one who's actually dressed for it already.
That's true, yeah.
That's true. But you know what? Well, what you wear at the Olympics, that's being questioned now. I think making him wear that is maybe not a good idea.
Beast had just had his like, you know, his little shorts on, but he decided to just tear them off and just go...
El fresco.
Yeah, yeah. Let the wind rush against all of his
noodles everywhere.
Yeah. El Dante. Anyways.
I think Beast would perform pretty well, actually. It would be...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Potentially horrifying to watch, but he's very agile, and I feel like, you think he's at his lab working on, like, science all night, but he's just working on his routine. This is real love.
Beast knows what the judges are looking for and is able to scientifically figure out the best routine.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to get me the maximum score.
Yep.
I think Plastic Man and Tin, both sort of goofier characters, might get a little distracted. They might see, there's a hot dog eating contest over there. This I gotta see.
That's fine. I was going to say Beast might get distracted because he tends to be a bit of a weird ladies' man. That he's like, all of a sudden, he would like just jump on the judge's table and start hitting on one of the judges inappropriately. And you're like,
I feel like he would do that right before.
Yeah.
Check this out. And then rips his pants off.
And then he rips off his shorts off.
Yeah.
And weirdly enough, I think it might work in his favor. He's quite charming.
Yeah. The German judge gave him a 10 right away.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that, Germany. So I don't know who's the winner.
I'll put mine out as I think Beast would win.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree, Beast. I mean, I'm biased, but I agree. I want to say Plastic Man would probably be silver.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Tin gets the bronze, and he's very upset about it.
Yeah, yeah, he's horrified. He's this was my cousin.
Next event is, I did go through a bunch of them, ones that have been discontinued and don't happen anymore. One that occurred that does not anymore, obstacle swim.
Wow.
I want that back in the Olympics. It sounds amazing.
I know, so do I. It's like literally like climbing over stuff, jumping in the water, swimming around things, underneath boats, up and around, and literally an obstacle course in water. It sounds like a Japanese game show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am putting in MODOK.
Ah!
As my...
Okay.
He's got a certain amount of propulsion.
For this one, I'm going to choose Superman.
Okay, I choose I choose God.
Yeah.
No, wait for it. We're going to have to hash this out. So I have a very good reason I chose Superman for this one, but continue.
Okay.
Because he can do everything. Yeah, that's yeah. Tough choice.
Because you have to burn your Superman at some point.
Yes.
This is the one that I really want a gold in. I'm gonna go with Casey Jones for mine.
Ah, nice.
Because prove to me that he doesn't have a surfboard in that hockey bag, or some flippers, and a little snorkel.
Yeah, I think he does. He's prepared for everything.
You just see him moving really slow, like in a snorkel, just dog paddling. He's dog paddling because he doesn't know how to swim.
Yeah.
A friend of mine called him "played again sportsman" one time to piss me off, but it's accurate. So I'm gonna say it right now. I threw Superman in there as a dark horse because it's obstacles. He has to swim through obstacles. If you played Superman 64, you know that he's very bad at that.
That's a good point.
Flying through rings, he's bad at that. So I think he doesn't win.
He's got bad collision detection.
This is 100% between Casey Jones and MODOK.
He gets disqualified because he ends up flying like through one of the boats ends up flying over, and they're like, disqualified, you're flying. You have to stay in the water.
No, I'm swimming. I'm swimming in the air.
Lex Luthor is actually one of the judges. He's like, fly through my rings, and he just burnt right through a wall. It's
right into some green smoke that's obscuring the area.
I don't know where it came from.
All right, so Superman is out. So it's MODOK versus Casey Jones.
Dear Lord, whichever of them doesn't drown is gonna win.
MODOK's face down. Help me! Yeah. Spin me over.
Casey Jones didn't take the hockey bag off before getting in the water, which that's foolish.
He jumped in and just disappeared.
Full clothes. He's got it all on.
He's got his boots.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's got a hockey mask and a snorkel on top of the hockey mask. It's not actually doing anything. It's just fashion.
What is that saying? Down to Casey Jones' locker?
Because of that, I'm giving MODOK the win.
Yeah. It's really weird, but yeah, MODOK does not do well, but by default... Which he's taking his absolute victory because he's MODOK.
He's loving it. Yeah.
Loving it.
So he gets gold and the others are dead.
Yeah.
Or disqualified.
Next up is going to be, it's Tai Chi.
Tai Chi.
Yeah, that's right. It's like the karate or jiu-jitsu event, but it's Tai Chi. So it's way slower.
Kyle, who's your choice?
I'm going to go with Bumblebee, the Transformer. Darn it.
All right.
Top that.
I'm going to go with Ghost Rider.
Okay. Ooh. Hop in.
I'm going to go Dazzler. I'm going with Dazzler.
Oh, Dazzler.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you kept Dazzler out of the rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah, really.
I couldn't get past that imagery of just beast.
That's fair.
Couldn't get past it, so had to be that.
So I guess all three of them are they're gonna have to go up against some sort of competitor, like a wooden training dummy, like the one from Tekken.
Do they, or do they just do the movements? That's usually your Tai Chi, there's no opponent, you're just doing the movement.
So it's who can go the slowest. It's a slow race.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I just picture Ghost Rider from the second movie, where in the thing he would just waver back and forth, and his hair or his flame on the head would just go back and forth. He's like, I'm just doing Tai Chi. Just throw the hands in the front of it and be just doing Tai Chi the whole time.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage Tai Chi.
Oh, no. Dazzler makes light effects. I mean, can she make slow light effects? It seems like she'd be more energetic. A slower version of her stage routine with, like, the lights just sort of fading. That could be pretty...
Or would she get disqualified for going too fast?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Slow it down, Dazzler.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, she did all of her training in, like, Studio 54, so she might be under a performance-enhancing substance, and I don't think it's going to help in this competition, actually.
I think that's fair. No. And I think Bumblebee would just be like, I know. Bumblebee. Just stuck midway through transformation. No Transformer seems incredibly graceful. Whether it be the cartoons or the movies or whatever, they're always just falling all over the place and just stepping on stuff they shouldn't be.
But if he gets stuck in mid kind of movement, it looks like he's just found the spot in Tai Chi.
And he's like,
how slow can you go? That slow.
Become the car.
Exactly.
Oh my God, he's perfectly still. It's stasis.
I feel like Tigatron.
I wish it were Tigatron.
Tigatron would be your man in this competition for sure.
I think Ghost Rider, honestly.
Yeah.
That slow flame is just hypnotic.
It is.
Very true.
I mean, Dazzler's got those fast sparks. What about some slow sparks?
I feel like, you know, it's all about commitment, and Nicolas Cage will commit. So, you know,
or get committed.
Or get committed, yes.
Yeah, fair.
And part of his relaxation techniques during that time is Tai Chi. So he got quite good at it.
Well, you can only scratch the door for so long.
I think Ghost Rider wins.
I think so too.
That's the conclusion we've arrived at.
I think Ghost Rider wins, Bumblebee silvers, and Dazzler is disqualified for, you know.
That's fair.
Performance enhancing drug.
That's right.
So my next round, let's do some volleyball.
Solo volleyball?
Yes, solo volleyball. Yes.
Well, okay, we could pick. How about we come up with a partner for each of our one?
Oh, okay.
Because volleyball I think you can play that with two people, right?
Yeah, sure.
If Mario sports games have taught me anything, you can play volleyball with two people.
I think so.
So I'm choosing Daisy and Birdo. No. So the one person I had left was Carnage. And who goes better with Carnage than Venom? It's going to be Venom and Carnage playing volleyball.
Venom. I'm going to combo Big Red McLean.
Oh, dip. King of the North Woods.
King of the North Woods from the Fletcher
Look him
Hanks
up. If
comics.
You don't know who he is, look him up.
Oh, you'll
the
be glad
lumberjack
you
extraordinaire. And I'm going to team him with Newton the Centaur from the Hercules cartoon.
Oh, Lordy.
Volleyball.
Hey, Merc.
Serve the ball.
My main is going to be Namor, the Submariner. And I think it's very important because clearly you need to have those bikini bottoms to do volleyball from what I've heard. So he's prepared. And his partner is Randy Quaid.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Yes, please. But he's in the character of the cousin in the Vacation
Yeah.
series.
No, that's good. I think that's good. Yes.
Yeah. And it's
shitter's full.
This time I think it's going to be this bizarre sort of triangle shaped net. It's good. It's going to be three teams fighting each other.
Oh, good, yeah.
Dong, they're back and forth, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're all disqualified.
On what basis? They can't all be doping, right?
Carnage and Venom just kill everybody.
I mean, real-life Randy Quaid is definitely on a whole bunch of stuff.
Randy Quaid just started talking.
He started talking, and Carnage was like, this guy's making a lot of sense.
And then Big Red McLean started a fight with Namor.
Yeah.
Because he just started to sock him one. Pow!
Mm-hmm.
Randy Quaid is accusing the volleyball of being, you know, bugged by the government or something. So he shoots it like it's deflated. Yeah.
And as we all know and established last episode, Venom went to space, so he's not even there.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's why he went to space. He didn't want to play volleyball.
Venom doesn't want to play volleyball. That's a very fair, it's very fair.
So Carnage is just sad there by himself. So there's like sad crying
Carnage. It's the symbiote and it's Cletus Cassidy. And they're like, well, I guess we could
split off and
yeah, there you go.
But Cletus Cassidy, notably terrible at volleyball.
That's true.
And Big Red McLean just socks him in the jaw.
But I feel like literally everyone else has been disqualified, so doesn't matter how terrible you are.
Hooray!
I don't know what's happening anymore.
They cut to someone recapping the 100-meter dash.
Yep.
Randy Quaid stole all the medals and ran away. So
yeah,
yeah.
So Canada wins.
All right, next event.
Sure. Please.
For the last event, I am choosing, and this is an actual event. It doesn't happen anymore. Solo synchronized swimming.
How?
What?
Why?
It's an actual event, but you are synchronized with music.
Oh, okay.
I thought you were like
it's
watching
it. Is how they explained it.
I wasted Namor. That's fine.
And I'm gonna, before I say who I picked as my character, let me just explain how we got to there. I recently just ran into a friend of the show, Pat, when I was out in a boat.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that he had lent me a stack of comics. A year ago, we did an adaptations episode. And he messaged me. He's like, hey, I got a bunch of these. Like, we talked about Dune by Bill Sienkiewicz and a bunch of others. And so he lent me a little stack of them. And I realized I had not got them back to him yet. I just poked my head in there earlier
Who would do that?
Yeah, horrible. Going through, and lo and behold, what comic did I come up with that Pat had lent us and is now my character? Pope John Paul II.
Famous fictional comic book character, Pope John Paul II.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's ave-mazing.
The only other character on my list is Green Arrow. So,
Pope John Paul versus Green Arrow.
Give it a try, Ollie.
All right, and the only character I had left, I'm going to hold it up. Maybe you can see it. I've circled it. It's Impulse.
Oh my.
He's real fast, but is he real? You know what? He probably would have a very good sense of timing.
Yeah. If it's a song he's into, I feel like he could really. Really get it done, but you know, it depends if it's his choice or not.
Yeah, I did. Like, he might be waiting for the you know, the hit to do something, you know, something synchronized with the music, and just, all right, I'm gonna go have a sandwich while this.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed my cue.
Can you like impatiently tap your feet underwater because he found a way?
Mm.
He's causing big waves. Actually, they're just like the audience is getting soaked.
That's what I was figuring. Any movement he does is going to create, like, tons of waves. You're just watching him. Like, it's just water going everywhere.
Yeah, at no point is he actually in the water. He's just, you know, pacing on top of it. Never actually entering the water.
I like that.
And I feel like Pope John Paul just is standing in the shallow end, not moving, because he's got his robe on. And it's so wet and it's so heavy. Oh, and he's just saying, I don't swim very well.
And all the sinners that keep getting into the pool are immediately baptized.
Yeah. He blessed the water.
The whole time.
He blessed the water, but that's what we call it when Pope John Paul pees in the pool.
I mean, I bless the water every time I go swimming.
He's an old man. He can't help it.
Exactly.
Who am I talking about? Anyway, Green Arrow, I feel like he brings the whole, he's got his hood on and he's got his quiver full of like... arrows in the water.
They're spilling.
Like the thing is filled with water and it's throwing his balance off, and he's just trying to, eventually he's like getting dragged under by the weight of it, and he's just desperately trying to keep his head above water. I mean, he didn't really think this through.
So really nobody got very far.
Yeah, nobody, no. Everyone. Man, superheroes should not be in the Olympics, I think is what we have figured out.
We've established, yes.
And Olympic athletes should not be superheroes, despite the fact that a lot of superheroes who don't really have powers are trained to the level of Olympic athletes. They've decided to use their Olympic athlete level training to do other things.
It's very strange how some of these people some of these superheroes specifically entered competitions that they had not trained for whatsoever.
Yes, yes.
And that's how I like it.
All right, well, I think we've reached... these are the closing ceremonies. That's the music. That's the music that they play.
That's the music.
Because the music they played at the actual Olympics opening games is all copyrighted video game music, apparently. So we can't use any of that.
And it's all done on mouth trumpet.
Yeah. So who are we?
I'm Merc. You can find me at mercasylum.ca, MERKASYLUM.ca. Merc on Facebook, Merconaut like astronaut on Instagram.
I'm Bry Kotick. You can check out my comic at welcometohereafter.com, and I'm on Instagram at BRYKOTYK.
My name is Kyle Lees, and you can check my stuff out at thekylelees.com or thekylelees on Facebook, Instagram, etc.
Etc.
Hey, we're all singers.
Speaking of singers,
yeah,
a big thanks to Ocean City Defender
for what,
as always, for doing our music.
Oh,
for doing our music.
Oh,
all the musical interstitial stuff.
Though to be fair, we sang.
That's true. That's true. Check him out under Ocean City Defender, not the game, the musician, K. Preston Merkley. Thank you very much, and congratulations to all our Olympic.
You know
winners.
What? Just getting here makes you a winner. Just get to the end of the, just getting to the end of this episode makes us winners. So let's all pat each other on the back.
Yay!
Great job. I'm just hitting my tummy because couldn't reach my back. Didn't want to do it. It's audio. You don't know, and you wouldn't know if I hadn't told you. Cut this part out.
The magic of podcasts.